We are now in the fifth week of our series on the Beatitudes. And we've covered the first four Beatitudes in recent weeks. If you've been here with us, if it's your first time, this is the continuation of this series. And now we are ready for Matthew 5:7 that Louisa just read. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Now today I will tell three stories, and we'll consider three questions, and we will consider together three questions related to mercy. I'll tell you one story from my own life, one story that Jesus told, and one story from a documentary film that had a profound impact on me. But first, let me tell you my story. Over 30 years ago, I found myself at a school playground, lying on the ground, full of fear, with a classmate looking at me with a very angry face. And his name was Corey. Now, before you feel any sympathy for me, I need to be clear that it was not the fault of that classmate. I was probably 10 or 11 years at the time, and as much as I don't like to remember this, I was mean to this classmate. I was mean to Corey. And I can remember on different occasions doing what other classmates sometimes do and not treating him well, giving him a hard time. But that day, I do not remember what I did to him. But I will never forget how he responded. He grabbed me. He put me down on the ground. And while he was on top of me, I knew that he could, if he wanted to, he had the opportunity to completely humiliate me, to hurt me, or do whatever he wanted. Instead, he looked at me in the eye and firmly said, "Leave me alone and let me go." He showed me mercy when I deserved to be punished, or I deserved something else. And I'll never forget that moment. In some ways, it marked me. And I can tell you, I never bothered Corey again. I truly realized that was wrong. And afterward, I began to treat him differently, with respect and with dignity that he deserved. Now, mercy has the power to bring transformation and even reconciliation. We know that God loves mercy. And Jesus made a point in his Sermon on the Mount to speak of it in his list of Beatitudes. Blessed are the merciful. Or we could say, happy are those who do not harden their hearts. Or fortunate are those who allow themselves to feel what others feel and are moved to act with compassion. Let us explore this morning further what Jesus meant by this statement and consider how it fits with the other Beatitudes that describe God's upside-down kingdom. First, let's reflect on the first question related to this beatitude. What is a merciful person like? A merciful person, obviously, is a person who shows mercy. They are moved to compassion by the needs of others and act in that compassion towards them. They specifically choose to offer forgiveness and refrain from bringing pain or punishment, even when deserved. This is how Bible scholar William Barclay described the Aramaic word chesed, that would have been the word that Jesus would have used for mercy. Here he says, the chesed or mercy is the ability to get right inside the other person's skin until we can see things with his or her eyes, think things with his or her mind, and feel things with his or her feelings. It is not just having pity for someone, but involves a deliberate identification with the other person. And this identification brings about actions to alleviate or prevent their suffering. And if we truly want to know what it means to be merciful, we don't have to look any further than the life of Jesus. His kindness, compassion, and even fight for truth and justice reveal God to us and show us what a merciful life truly is. On the other hand, it is also helpful to consider the opposite of merciful, or the merciless person. This person has a cold, hard heart. They do not feel what the other person feels, and if they do, they only desire for them to feel pain and anguish. Their heart is insulated from the pain and need of the other. The merciless especially have no concern for their enemies or those who, in their minds, deserve punishment or negative consequences. Sometimes they are the ones who bring that pain and seek vengeance. The merciless do not offer forgiveness or relief. They distribute their own form of justice harshly and swiftly. So that brings us to the second question. How are the merciful blessed? Now, in the system of the world, the system of our world, the merciless person is often seen as weak, soft, and vulnerable, a person that could be manipulated and taken advantage of. They do not defeat their enemies and only allow them to continue harming them. They end up defeated and hurt. But in God's upside-down kingdom, Jesus makes it clear that the merciful are supremely blessed and fortunate. They have reason to be truly happy. This is because they will be shown mercy. God will provide for them. He will protect them. Now, it's interesting that Jesus stated that the merciful will be shown mercy. It could be understood that one must be merciful to others in order to earn or merit the mercy of God. However, that is not the case. The truly merciful person is one that has received the mercy of God. It's the person that has received the mercy of God in their life through Jesus. This mercy has not only offered forgiveness to them, it has also placed love and mercy in their hearts. When we receive God's mercy, He puts the same mercy in us through His Spirit so that we will leave merciless ways behind and begin to live out mercifully towards others. Ultimately, in God's coming kingdom, we will receive the fullness of God's mercy by being welcomed into His full presence and seeing all evil destroyed and its consequences. This is why the merciful are blessed. They are those who have stepped into this upside-down kingdom even now and now live a life of mercy, even as they long for justice and all things to be made right in the world. Listen how Jesus described God's mercy in response to this. And these are difficult Bible passages, and I'll try to explain them. Matthew 6:14-15. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. The person transformed by God's mercy demonstrates they have come to faith in Jesus by expressing mercy and forgiveness. They may not do this perfectly. In fact, they will not do this perfectly. But they have begun to integrate these new values into their lives. The person that rejects a life of forgiveness, in a sense, is rejecting Jesus. Faith in Jesus and living the way of Jesus go together. In the book of James, it's stated this way, James 2:13, because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. Mercy triumphs over judgment. So as if we are choosing how we would like to be judged, we can choose to be seen through the eyes of mercy or seen through the eyes of judgment. So that raises some other questions. The next question, the third question is, how does God show mercy and bring justice? So there are a few important questions that must be addressed regarding mercy. First, what about those bad people or awful people that truly deserve to be punished? We might ask ourselves that question. What about those who continue to do harm and refuse to change? This is the question of justice. We can't simply ignore all the harm that has been done in the world. And this is where we come to truly understand who God is. Wrongdoing or sin, evil, and other awful things deserve justice, deserve punishments. This would be justice, correct? This truly is a dilemma. God is just and wants to deal with all wrongdoing to make it right. But he also loves mercy and saving people from the consequences of their actions. This is where Jesus comes in. God saw a need to pay the price for all the evil and wrongdoing throughout history. He chose to send his son to pay the price for the sins of all humanity. Jesus is the embodiment of mercy, both in the way he lived on earth as merciful. Excuse me. But also in the very act of willingly going to the cross so that all of humankind could have a way to come to God the Father. In this way, God reveals his justice and his mercy simultaneously. It is finished were Jesus' last words on the cross. The work was done. But once again, you may ask, if the work is finished, what about all the injustice and evil in the world? Keep in mind, God's kingdom is the already but not yet kingdom. It has come to us in Jesus, and we can experience his mercy in our lives, even in this life, but people still have the choice to act according to God's guidance or according to their own way. We can choose to be merciful like Jesus or be merciless like many people out in this world. We know that God loves both. He loves to forgive and show mercy, but he also loves to bring justice and defend the weak and the vulnerable. Listen to this story that Jesus told in the Gospel of Matthew, and I will summarize it here. It's in Matthew chapter 18. Jesus said that the kingdom of God is like a king who needed to settle financial accounts with his servants, and one of them had an enormous debt that he could never pay. It was huge. And the king had the right to imprison that servant or to sell him and his family as slaves until that debt was paid. But that would have taken years, maybe a whole lifetime. Instead, the king heard the cries for mercy and forgave the servant of his debt. Now, that same servant, when he left with his freedom, he found another servant, a co-worker, who owed him a small amount of money, almost insignificant. And this servant asked the first servant for mercy. He begged him. But instead, the first servant became enraged and began to choke the other one and had him thrown into jail because he couldn't pay his debt. All the other servants were watching, and they told the king what had happened. And so the king called the first servant back to him, and this is what he said in verses 32 through 34. Then the master called the servant in. "You wicked servant," he said. "I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?" In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. So in this story, was the king merciful? That's the question. Yes, he was merciful. He forgave the servant of the debt. He let him go free. But however, he was also just. When the servant refused to show mercy and then treated another person with cruelty, the king ended up bringing the consequences that he'd wanted to originally withhold. God gives all people opportunity for mercy. We can receive it for ourselves, but that also means turning from unforgiveness and mercilessness. It's as if it is something that must flow into us from God and flow through us to others. That is how God's kingdom works. Listen to what the psalmist said in Psalms 103, 8 through 10. "The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. God loves people. And in loving people, he hates injustice towards them. He is patient and just, but someday he will end all injustice. So we know that God's kingdom is coming in its fullness, but has already invaded this world through Jesus and those who live by his ways. My last story tells us one way that God's merciful kingdom broke through into this world. The idea of mercy is illustrated beautifully through a documentary called As We Forgive. And this documentary describes the aftermath of the Rwandan genocide, where two different ethnic groups, the majority Hutus and the minority Tutsis, were in conflict. And the Hutus, during this conflict, this war, killed almost 1 million Tutsis during that time. And they were neighbors. They lived in the same communities. Some neighbors were killing other neighbors and vice versa. Now, this story was incredibly shocking. This was all shocking. But what was even more shocking, in 1994, after this conflict, was when the Rwandan government released 40,000 prisoners due to overcrowding in their jails. Many of those, thousands of those prisoners had been involved in the killings during this conflict. And now they were released. Many Hutu war criminals were released and even returned to the same communities where they had come from and where they were from and where Tutsi survivors still lived. Now, this documentary focuses on the story of two Tutsi women, women that had family members that were killed by Hutus. One woman was named Rosaria, and Rosaria had almost her entire family killed by Hutus, by her own Hutu neighbors. And when the prisoners were released to her village, part of a government reconciliation program was that these prisoners would rebuild the homes that were destroyed. And so Rosaria had some of these prisoners building her new home. And it was discovered at some point that one of these men was Saveri, a Hutu who had actually killed Rosaria's sister. So think about that for a second. Somebody had lost their family, and now someone is building your new home, and that person is the killer of your own sister. So Saveri approached Rosaria when he had the opportunity, and he begged her for forgiveness. And somehow, motivated by her Christian faith, Rosaria forgave him. She came to truly forgive him. And this is how she explained her decision. She said, "I couldn't withhold forgiveness from someone who God had already forgiven. I couldn't withhold forgiveness from someone who God had already forgiven." So there was forgiveness and mercy. There was reconciliation. And it's even believed that there was some kind of friendship that somehow came out of that awful situation. Now, in this film, the second woman that's featured, her name is Chantel. And Chantel also lost family members during the war. John, the man that had killed her father, also returned to the same community, living within kilometers of Chantel. And John requested a meeting with Chantel, and she accepted the offer, but did not intend on forgiving him. She did not believe that she ever would forgive John. So during that meeting, she instead shared her pain and told John exactly how he had taken everything from her. And John, during this meeting, begged her for forgiveness and pleaded for mercy. And that meeting ended without forgiveness and without mercy. But something happened after that meeting, and John came back to Chantel's home. And he came back every day to help Chantel with her crops that she was raising and to help Chantel with the chores in her home, not pressuring her, only helping her. And during a time of 6 months, something happened to Chantel. And in the Rwandan tradition, she called a public meeting in the village for all the people to gather. And when everyone gathered for that meeting, Chantel made an announcement, and she announced to her community that she had forgiven John, that she'd forgiven the person that had killed her father. And the people that made this documentary said when they filmed the first meeting, this isn't in the notes, but it's fine. When they filmed the interview of the first meeting, Chantel was angry. There was so much hurt in her, so much anguish. But 6 months later, when they returned to the village, they saw her, and they didn't know what had happened. They only saw her face, her beautiful, smiling, peaceful face, and they knew something had happened. Because when she was able to forgive John, her father's killer, peace and joy returned to Chantel's life. And it returned to the life of Saveri. Mercy, just as God's word says, mercy truly triumphed over judgment. This is what God's kingdom looks like when it invades the earth, when through us we bring it to this earth, even as we wait for the coming of his kingdom. Now, I want to be clear about something, and I think this is very important. What forgiveness is not. Forgiveness does not mean completely forgetting. Mercy does not mean that people should not never face consequences. If someone has hurt you, you may need to be separated from them. If someone has harmed a loved one, that person may need to face consequences in order to change. Sometimes we do need to protect ourselves, and we need to protect loved ones or the community. But in the process, you can decide whether to harbor hate or compassion in your heart. Hate will drive you to revenge and will be a poison in your soul. Mercy will bring you peace, as you may even come to pray and ask God to help this other person change. All of this will be a process. It could even be a long process. Being merciful for many just means that we open ourselves to God to change our hearts, knowing that on our own, we can never forgive and never be merciful. Being merciful does not mean to always remove the consequences or to satisfy the requests of the other person. We must be wise and recognize when someone might be manipulating our emotions or kindness to their advantage. This is never true reconciliation. This is abuse. Now, I know that this message may have caused more questions in some of you. Maybe more questions than answers, and that's okay. And maybe even, it might have even provoked some emotions, some strong emotions. If that happened, you can speak with me. I would be glad to. You can disagree with me. I would be glad to hear about your story or to hear about your experience or even your opinion. And if not with me, then I know that you can speak with other people on the pastoral team or another trusted person in this community or someone you know outside of Christ Church. Because the truth is that these are difficult questions to navigate. We know and we believe that mercy will reign in God's kingdom, but that does not mean that it will be easy in our incredibly complex and difficult circumstances. We can trust that God is at work, bringing justice and offering mercy to make all things new. So two questions to consider as we close here. The first is, how will you respond to God's offer of mercy? To us, but also to others. Sometimes to people that we don't want to receive mercy. How do we respond? And how will you show mercy to others? Once again, if we don't have mercy in our hearts, then we don't have what we need to give. And that comes from God.